Welcome to the weekly Front Stretch podcast brought to you by FrontStretch.com. I am your host, Dustin Albino, and today I am joined by Joseph Volkan and Zach Catanzaretti, who are both here to help me break down the wild weekend that was Road America for the Xfinity Series, as well as preview throwback weekend this weekend at Darlington Raceway. But first, I want to talk to you guys about DraftKings. As the NASCAR world is in the midst of its run to the playoffs, there are plenty of opportunities to jump in on the action with DraftKings. On DraftKings, the objective is simple. Pick six drivers, watch how they perform on Sunday, and if you choose correctly, you can be eligible for massive cash prizes. All you have to do to jump in on the action is sign up through the Front Stretch Podcast article page, make a $5 deposit, and you'll be eligible for a free entry into one of this weekend's contests at Darlington. Once again, DraftKings, where you choose, you play, and you win. Guys, a little side note about DraftKings. Today, in particular today, I had two people reach out to me wanting me to help them with their lineup this weekend.
Yeah, it's growing.
You know, I know where it is. It's huge.
All right, let's get this back on track. Guys, holy crap. Jeremy Clements pulled off the upset of the year this past weekend at Road America, leading 10 laps and playing a bit of a strategy to get his first career Xfinity Series win. Even though there are no Cup drivers in the field, is this a shock to you guys? Joe, I'll start with you.
Oh, this is absolutely unbelievable. I've known Jeremy for about 3 years now. When I first went to his hauler, for those who haven't seen Jeremy's hauler, picture something like going to a Legends race or a late model race. The thing has vertical curtains in it. It's absolutely one of the smallest things I've ever seen in the Xfinity garage area. He only has a handful of crew members. This is a family operation, guys. I cannot believe it. That Jeremy Clements did the unthinkable and was able to win at Road America. What an incredible feat for this team, especially in the midst of a rather rocky year for him. Mm-hmm. He was struggling throughout the summer for the most part, besides an 18th at Bristol. This is his first top 15 since Daytona. It's an unbelievable feat for him.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I wasn't there. I just turned on my TV, and he was coming up the front straight and coming to the checkered flag. I'm like, wait, what? Dave Burns was saying he was winning, and I'm like, wow, so unreal. I just cannot believe what we just witnessed this weekend. You know, it was released on the site that this week that huge for NASCAR. It's something that we really need. And absolutely. I mean, he's one of these guys that's been around for so long, 256 starts, and to see him win, I mean, that is such a feel-good story, and, you know, I'm definitely proud of those guys, and to see him in the playoffs, that's huge for that team. So just a great, great story that we saw this weekend.
Yeah, that's the biggest part is the playoffs. I mean, for such a small team to be able to lock in that playoffs, he's never finished better than 14th in the standings before. This is going to be unbelievable for him.
Yeah, and Joe, I know you weren't watching, but I was watching. I know you were in shock from the when I told you, I'm like, Jeremy Clements is going to win this race. And I think your response was something like, no way. And it, lo and behold, it happened.
So, I really didn't believe you. I was like, gotta be kidding me. You're lying. Get out of here. You're drunk.
I mean, just like the other road course races this year, even in Cup and Xfinity, we've seen a bunch of different strategy, and this was no different. He was leading late in the race, and then he came into pit. And then when he came into pit, he had those fresh tires, and he was like 15 seconds back. But he charged to the lead. And then in the process, he had to spin Matt Tiff to do in doing so. So when it comes down to that, and both drivers need a win, Tiff's, I mean, he's going to make the playoffs regardless on points. But he spun him out coming to the final, out of the final corner, going to the white flag. Is that fair or foul? Zach, I'll start with you.
No, it's definitely fair to me. I mean, to me, you know, it's really tough to understand what a driver's going through mentally, especially when you're someone like him in a situation like that. I mean, he's never won a race, as we all know. Matt's never won a race. And, I mean, it's not like he went in there and just, you know, just doored him or just, you know, turned right and took himself out, took Matt out. You know, it definitely looked like a, you know, a little bit of a mistake on his part. But, you know, at that point in the race, you got to do what you got to do. And he was definitely going to get by whether or not, you know, if he was going to go with him or not. And obviously he spun himself out and he was so lucky to stay out of the sand traps and to keep going. And the fact that he had that big of a lead over the five cars. So to me, it's all open ground. There's certain limits that I don't want to see surpassed. But to me, that was just good racing, and you know, thankfully they all came out of it and still got some good finishes. And Jamie got the win still.
Yeah, I agree with you, Zach. I mean, let's face it, Jeremy Clements doesn't have the equipment Matt Tiff does. Matt Tiff's going to have another shot at competing for a win. Jeremy Clements, probably not going to happen anytime soon. He only has one career top five besides this race in so many Xfinity Series races that he knew he had to do that. There was no option for Jeremy Clements. Jeremy Clements knew, look, this is my 256th Xfinity Series start. I need to get this win. I'm in position to do it. I need to take advantage of it. And that's what he did. You can't blame him for it, you know? He was struggling this season besides that. And who knows, maybe somehow or another he'll get a big sponsor to pick him up. And that could do really unbelievable things for that 51 team.
Yeah, and
just one quick thing. We talk about racers and going for those gaps. I definitely learned one thing from Takuma Sato, 2012 Indy 500. You have a run on the leader, the last lap in the biggest race in the world. You're going to go for the spot, whether it's, you know, right timing or not. So he's going into the final corner, coming to the last lap. He has a run on the leader. Who knows if he was going to have another run on Matt? Maybe he would have, you know, driven away from him up the front stretch and for the final lap. So he had to go for it, and he did what he felt like he had to do.
Yeah, and like you guys have mentioned, both of you, he's had a rough go of late. He's only got the one top 10 before this race. But he and I talked to him before Daytona earlier this year in February, and we were like, you know, going back and forth of how many cup teams or cup affiliated teams are in the Xfinity Series this year. And we came up with 21 or 22. And for him to be even, I don't know, half of them, say, because there's no cup drivers in the field, obviously. But it really says a lot for a team that only has 3 or 4 full-time employees, as he told me. So, I mean, it's just incredible with what that team was able to do on Sunday. But with that, it moves Brendan Gaughan back to the playoff bubble as Jeremy Clements has now taken a spot in the playoffs. He holds a 4-point advantage over Dakota Armstrong, who like a month ago looked like he was a sure lock for the playoffs. And Michael Nett's only 11 markers ahead. And Blake Koch's only 26 points ahead. Guys, with three races remaining before the playoffs, who do you think's out of those drivers going to miss the playoffs?
Yeah, it was pretty much the worst case scenario for those guys when they saw Jeremy win. You know, pretty much most of them, at least Koch and Armstrong, they're smaller teams, so they were happy for Jeremy. But at the end of the day, they're like, oh man, I'm in a tough spot here, because before then, you know, pretty much all of them were pretty comfortable. JJ Yeley is almost a full race behind those guys. So when you look at, you know, how they've been performing this year, I feel like some like Blake Koch would be okay. He's got the best margin of those guys, and I do feel pretty good about Dakota Armstrong making it. He's been very consistent this year. He's finished every race this season. But then someone like Brendan Gaughan, you know, I'm just not quite sure. Like, if you look performance-wise, he's doing better than Armstrong, but just he in his career, he's so far behind where he was last year. So it's definitely a toss-up between those four guys. But I feel like Koch, he's the only one that I feel pretty safe about.
Yeah, I agree with you, Zach. I mean, Michael Nett just isn't consistent. He's not running the same pace as other JR Motorsports cars. Ryan Reed is actually showing speed for once this year at track other than Daytona, but he's just not consistent. He keeps wrecking like he always does, but at least for him, he's getting a couple of top 10 finishes. He'll be fine. The real question is, does Dakota Armstrong make the playoffs and Brendan Gaughan does not? That would be a major upset.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, you mentioned how he's showing speed, Ryan Reed in this case, showing speed other than Daytona, but he's in the playoffs with the win at Daytona. So we don't have to really worry about him. But Zach, I know you said you're in favor of Dakota making it over Brendan, but I'm not seeing that. Lately, his finishes have been just pretty bad. He's got like 8 straight finishes outside the top 15, well, besides Mid-Ohio. But I don't know, he started off so well, and like I said, like a month ago, it looked like he was a sure lock, and now I'm just not thinking he's going to get in, which is going to be, it's going to suck for him, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I'm going off of is just consistency, just finishing races. Obviously, it's been a career year for him and that team, but yeah, you know, I definitely agree that the finishes just aren't there to make the playoffs, but it all depends on consistency, and if Brendan, you know, it just depends on how many accidents he has in these last two races. We know how tough a year it's been for that
62 team. Yeah, and so now we'll move on to the Cup Series. You guys are probably sick of hearing about the Xfinity Series, so we're going to Darlington Raceway this weekend for the annual Southern 500. Guys, with two races remaining until the playoffs begin at Chicago, Joe, what type of racing do you think we'll see on Sunday night?
Oh, it's going to be so fantastic. The last 3 years at Darlington have just been absolutely outstanding. I mean, the current aero package that they have, I don't know it's going to produce the same type of racing we saw last year and the year before. But overall, I feel like with the way the playoffs have shaken up and the amount that the guys need to win who are just outside of the playoffs, it's going to make the racing so great on Sunday night, I think. And the best part about it is you're going to have a mixture of strategy at the end of the race. I really feel like that's going to happen. And don't be surprised if one of the non-playoff guys right now can come in there and win the race.
Yeah, it's one of those longer races of the year. We don't have a whole lot of 500-mile races anymore. But I know being there, it's one of the funnest races to watch all year, especially from the press box in Turn 3, because you just look at that wall, and you're waiting for someone to hit it, and almost every lap, someone's hitting it. So it's a unique style of racing with each corner different than the other. You know, you definitely see a little bit different setups from the drivers because you got the full speed Turn 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4, you got to back down a little bit. Pit road entry is so difficult, probably one of the toughest of the year, so it's always a show when we go there. It's under the lights. As I said, longer race, so I agree with Joe. Probably going to see a strategy shake up, and the Toyota's been great there. Won the last three of the last four, and we're going to talk about who we think going to win in a little bit later. But Darlington's one of my favorite races, and I feel like the racing is going to be awesome on Sunday, especially with guys like Eric Jones and Kenseth and just how the playoff battle's shaking up.
Yeah, and some of these guys, like you guys mentioned, I think, Joe, you mentioned, a lot of these guys, like, the points, they can't rely on their points anymore. Like, there's no driver within, a race of the playoffs, really, of making it on points. So I think this, is the perfect weekend for, or a perfect track for throwback week, if we're going to ever have one, which we've had the past 3 years. But over the past 11 races, there's been 11 different winners in that little streak. There's been Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin, to name a few. But out of all those current drivers who won during that span, who do you think, I mean, this could be our race picks right now, probably, but who do you think could go back and get to victory lane?
Well, here's the thing. There have been 11 straight different winners at Darlington. The only repeat winners we've seen are Greg Biffle and Jimmy Johnson since 2004. So you look at that and you're like, okay, we're probably going to have a new winner. Clint Boyer comes to mind, obviously. He needs to make it. After Eric Jones' great run at Bristol, how can you take him out of the picture? There are a lot of guys here. Joey Logano needs a win. Can Joey Logano get into victory lane on Sunday? There are a lot of drivers who really need to win. And it's going to be absolutely intriguing in my mind to see just how desperate these guys get as the playoffs approach.
Yeah, a lot of desperation, but I feel like the number's going to stay on 11 because of car number 11. I feel like Denny's definitely going to, in my opinion, he's definitely going to be the guy to beat just because of how well he's run there, both Xfinity and Cup. Four top fives in the last five races. He's finished every lap he's ever ran there in 11 starts, and that's pretty remarkable if you look at how treacherous of a track that is. So then Xfinity has seven straight top two finishes, so it's just his place. Just some guys, they match up with a track, and Darlington is for Denny.
Yeah, and add on top of that, you know, Kyle Busch and Martin Truex really dominating the second half of his regular season. Truex really dominating the whole year. It's going to be hard to beat a Toyota, and they've won, a bunch of races there, in the, like you said, three of the past four, Zach. So I think it's going to be really hard to see a new winner this weekend.
Maybe it'll be Daniel Suarez. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
he's it.
I mean, hell, even Chase Elliott, though he's in the playoffs right now, if it were a start, he won his first ever Xfinity start there. So who knows? I mean, well, I guess we'll just have to see. And I think we are going to see a jumble of pit strategy. But we talked a lot about the playoffs last week on this podcast. So out of all the guys that need to get in, who do you think is going to put themselves in the best position this weekend at Darlington?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be Eric Jones because he has the easy part already figured out, and that's speed. A lot of the guys who are outside the playoffs, they just don't have speed. Like, they're not even close to winning. But Eric, it's insane. It's insane these last two races how he's been almost the guy to beat. Michigan, he was the second or third best car that day. And Bristol, he had that race shaped up before that late battle there with Kyle. So I feel like Eric's going to be the one who's going to be able to put himself in position because he has the easy part figured out, and that's speed. Everything else will come after that.
I actually agree with you. I think that if Clint Boyer's going to win a race, it's going to be Richmond, since he's just so good at Richmond, historically speaking. Darlington isn't as strong of a racetrack for him. And like you said, Eric Jones has so much speed lately. Bristol really proved a lot. Not only did it prove that Eric Jones can run up front, but show that he can do so in a clean fashion and can really lead laps in the Cup Series race. That's a very big confidence booster to him. Now he can go into Darlington knowing his situation for next year and also knowing that, look, I have the speed to win. That's a big thing. But how unbelievable would it be if a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr. could win on Sunday? That would be an absolute upset.
Yeah, and I hate to be boring, but I'm going to agree with both of you guys. I think Eric Jones, out of anyone, would be the guy that could get into victory lane. Guys, on Thursday, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup was revealed. It's, what, 68 pounds, 23 feet high, and it's got all 23 tracks on it. So what do you guys take on the new trophy?
It was pretty cool. It would be interesting to see how they present it, because we're so used to the guy, to the champion, lifting the trophy over his head. I'm not sure if we're going to see it. If they do, how they're going to get the trophy in the picture, because it's going to have to be like a horizontal or vertical picture. But I like the look of it. It's definitely a little interesting. I love the chrome look. Definitely has cool designs. I love how it has all the tracks on there, because you're seeing what they won. They won a championship that has all these 23 tracks on it. So cool design. I definitely liked how NASCAR put it out on Instagram. They had all the drivers look at it, and you know, it all lined up pretty well. So I'm happy with it. It was a cool design. It looks like a NASCAR racing type of trophy.
You want to know what this trophy is, Zach? You really want to know what it is? It is huge. It's a very big trophy, as our president would say. It's really a cool trophy, I think. At first I was like, what the heck am I looking at? This thing's ugly. But I'm like, what are all these stupid lines around it? And I took a closer look. I'm like, oh, that's actually cool, having all 23 tracks. It's different. It really is different. I mean, it's not as beautiful as the Sprint Cup and the Nextel Cup, even the Winston Cup, but it's actually a cup. And that's the thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the most badass trophy in all of sports, and I'm not lying about that. When you look at other sports, you got like the NFL that's got the football, and that's great. And then you got the World Series, which has all the flags, and that's cool too. And then a basketball, and the NBA, you got like a basketball. But this trophy has all the tracks on it, like you guys have said. I think it's just really, really cool. And I was shocked when I saw it. I'm like, whoa, what is this? Like you said, Joe, and when I saw it, I'm looking and I just like scroll up to it and zoom in on it. And then I'm like, wow, those are all the tracks. And that's really cool to have all 23 tracks on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it looks like it could come off a race car. Like it looks like something that came out of like an engine block or something. So it definitely fits race cars, I believe.
And it also fits Monster Energy's portfolio quite well. I mean, Monster Energy is known for being different. This is different.
All right, guys, we're going to go back to the throwback theme of things. Out of all the throwback schemes this weekend, guys, which one's your favorite?
Rusty Wallace. I mean, Brad Keselowski, I'm sorry, in that number two car. How do you not love the Black Deuce? It's unbelievable. I love that paint scheme. When Rusty was retiring, I remember they had a little die cast of the paint scheme, but he never actually ran it. I'm so happy that Brad Keselowski has such an appreciation of the sport that every year he shows a paint. He always has a paint scheme throwing it back to the one, the only, Rusty Wallace.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm so excited for this weekend. I'm wearing my David Pearson shirt. He's the best all time at Darlington, 10 wins. And one of those cars that are going to be racing is Jamie McMurray's. He's got his red number one. I'm just one of those guys. I love the more simple paint scheme. I love like all white, all black, and he's got all red, and that's cool. But I'm definitely going to be looking at Kyle Larson. He's running his 42 from Felix Sabatis, and Kyle Petty, and I do like the scheme of the car. It's got like a lightning red and blue, but I love the car number. It's like a little tilted. That's something that we don't see a whole lot. So that one's unique in its own little special way.
Yeah,
I want to see Kyle Larson with a ponytail though. Where's the ponytail?
I don't think we're getting that. Anyway,
I don't think it's so facial hair either.
Yeah. My favorite, honestly, I was gonna go with Denny Hamlin's the Mr. Modified Ray Hendrick one, and it's a really cool car. It's got like, what would you call that, guys? There's like a circle around the 11, but then there's like what, like a little flame.
11.
What is
flying
that?
11.
Like flying 11. Yeah, that, I mean, that's really, really cool, and I really like that one, but I really like Matt DiBenedetto's number 32 throwback through Bobby Allison's 1988 Daytona 500 win, and I think it just represents the sport well because of how much of an impact, you know, Bobby Allison had on the sport, and he still keeps up with it, so that's the one I'm going to keep my eye on this weekend. And with that, we might as well go right into predictions. Zach, I know you mentioned how you think Hamlin's going to win the Xfinity race. Well, who do we got for Xfinity and Cup? Zach, I'll start with you.
Yeah, for sure. The guy I'm picking for Xfinity is going to be Denny. As I said, those seven straight top twos are almost impossible to beat. Such an amount of laps led. And he's in the 18 car, which does pretty well. And then I'm trying not to pick him for Cup, so I'll probably go with Truex. Won this race last year, and now he's shaping up to have an unbelievable playoffs. He has such a cushion already, so I feel like he's going to be the one to beat on Sunday again.
Well, for Xfinity, I'm going with the guy who won the Xfinity race last year at Darlington, Elliott Sablik. He needs a win. He needs momentum heading into the playoffs. I'm going with the number one car, not only in the Xfinity series, guys. I'm going with the number one car in the Cup series, and it's going to be Jamie McMurray.
Really?
Pulling into the victory lane for the first time in such a long time. I really think that McDonald's number one car is going to victory lane.
That's interesting. I mean, he definitely run well there in the past. Finished a runner-up in, 2010? I'm going to go with Zach, and I'm going to pick Hamlin for the Xfinity race because he just always, if he doesn't win it, like you said, Zach, he finished the second, and he's just always up there battling for the win. And for Cup, I was going to go Truex, but Zach went with Truex, so I'll go with Kyle Busch, even though I don't want to because he doesn't have a throwback scheme. But you got to do what you got to do. So, guys.
What would a throwback M&M scheme be, you know? Be
I mean,
so
you could have him like a Ken Schrader. Yeah.
Ken Schrader. Ernie Irvin. There's so many possibilities.
Yeah, I mean.
Or run the number 18 and do something like that. Man, I don't know why.
Yeah, It's crazy.
Very sad.
Do you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Yeah, so excited about Darlington. As I said, one of my favorite tracks. So excited. It's such an honor covering the Southern 500 and being there. It's one of those old school tracks. Even driving into the place, all the signs and everything, the houses around there, the streets. Everything is so old. You feel like you're going back in time. So having the Southern 500 back on Labor Day and having a throwback weekend, it's perfect. And I'm very excited to cover it for Front Stretch this year.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think Darlington's going to be great and all, but we also have a road course race, guys, and it's called Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Weston Sidrick had such a good run going at Road America. Look for him to be really strong up this weekend. I'm going with Weston Sidrick for the truck win.
Yeah, that wouldn't be surprised me at all. He's a veteran in the road course, though he's only 18 years old overall. I love the Southern 500. I'm so happy that it's back on Labor Day. Zach, I'm happy that you're going to be there and witnessing it in person. But guys, for this weekend and this week's edition for Darlington, we're going to sign off, and we'll see you next weekend previewing Richmond, the final regular season race of the season.